Welcome back to the Sustainability Podcast. This is your November 2023 Energy Regulation Roundup, and I'm your host, Gavin Simon. If you're new here, hi, nice to meet you. This is where we recap all Energy Regulation Roundup news within the last month across all major regions of the world, including the United States, Europe, and Asia. This month is particularly special because COP28 will be convening at the end of the month in Dubai. The 2023 UN Climate Change Conference will convene from November 30th to December 12th. To put it simply, the COP is where the world comes together to agree on ways to address the climate crisis, such as limiting global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius, helping vulnerable communities adapt to the effects of climate change, and achieving net zero emissions by 2050. More than 70,000 people are expected to attend COP this year. Business leaders, young people, climate scientists, indigenous people, journalists, and various other experts and stakeholders are among the participants. This year, the topics of focus include number one, prioritizing global methane and flaring reduction, number two, resiliency, especially on behalf of the economically developing regions, number three, transforming climate finance by delivering on old promises and setting the framework for a new deal on finance. Okay, so let's move ahead and begin our regulation roundup starting with China. After 2 years of waiting, China has published their plans for handling methane leaks. These plans have been a key part of negotiations with the United States to find common ground ahead of COP28. After a four-day meeting between China's climate envoy and U.S. counterpart, China has publicly announced a pledge to effectively improve its monitoring and supervision systems for methane in its five-year plan period through from 2025 to 2030. China currently produces more than 14% of global methane emissions, the largest in the world. The plan also described its efforts to curb flaring or burning off emissions at oil and gas wells, while targeting methane leaks at coal mines to be closed. Additionally, the plan does not include targets for reducing methane, but it does include capturing and utilizing emissions as fuel. It says that it aims to use 6 billion meters of methane gas released from coal mines by 2025 and will aim for collecting what it describes as international advanced level of emissions from oil fields by 2030. These plans release not only signals an increased demand for methane mapping and tracking, but it also has the potential to pave the way for a joint statement from the world's two largest greenhouse gas emitters. Okay, let's move on to the United States. Last month, the fifth National Climate Assessment was published, which documented and observed vulnerability, risk, and impacts associated with climate change across the country. The assessment also provides examples of response actions underway and provides a brief overview of annual greenhouse gas emissions, which coincidentally fell 12% between 2005 and 2019, which was largely in part due to changes in electricity generation, resulting in a 40% drop in emissions from the electricity sector. Wind and solar energy costs dropped 70 to 90% respectively over the last decade, while 80% of new generation capacity in 2020 came from renewable sources. 18 states have existing climate adaptation plans, and another 6 states have plans underway. Since Biden's, quote, investing in America agenda, end quote, companies have announced $614 billion to build the manufacturing base of the future. Over $390 billion has gone to upgrading public infrastructure and investing in clean energy. And over $8.8 billion in home energy rebates has been allocated to states, respectively. Brace yourselves for the next few pieces of data. America is experiencing a myriad of climate change-fueled events such as droughts, floodings, extreme heat, hurricanes, and wildfire. The United States now experiences a billion-dollar disaster approximately every 3 weeks, costing the U.S. an estimated $150 billion a year. Still, the cost of adapting and mitigating to climate change will be far less than not acting at all. So let's hop into the European Union. Ahead of COP28, the EU countries' climate ministries approved the bloc's negotiation position for this year's climate summit, agreeing to push forward in hopes to reach a first one-of-a-kind deal to phase out CO2-emitting fossil fuels. The EU's 27 member countries agreed unanimously to call COP28 for a phase-out of unabated fossil fuels. That leaves still a window for countries to keep burning coal, gas, and oil if they use technology to abate, meaning capture, the resulting emissions. This past month, the EU also reached a provisional agreement on European Critical Raw Materials Act. Critical Raw Materials, CRMs, are raw materials of high economic importance for the EU with a high risk of supply disruption due to their concentration of sources and lack of good affordable substitutes. The Act aims to increase and diversify the EU's critical raw material supply, strengthen circularity, including recycling, support research and innovation on resource efficiency, and development of substitutes. Thanks again for joining this month's Regulation Roundup. You know where to find us next month for December's Regulation Roundup, and visit us at arcweb.com to read the website version of this roundup, and check me out on LinkedIn at Gavin Simon.